C9V, bubble.
Patrick and I think Gary was talking about coming up, so I might take it.
I still need to get off my tail and make the reservations if I am, because I'm sure they're probably filled up by now.
Email them and see. The guy who does reservations, I think it's still Lynn who does it. But, yeah, they usually have some spaces toward the end. I think they might hold a few back just in case. But, yeah, there's usually a full house, and it's a pretty good ham fest.
On the circle there.
Sunday this year, though. Usually it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but this year it's just Friday and Saturday. I guess most people pack up and leave Saturday afternoon anyway, and Sunday's kind of dead, so I guess they decided just not to do it on Sunday.
This year I went ahead and did up the application for the campsite, and I included Sunday, and then I realized, hey, they don't have a ham fest on Sunday. Maybe I just carried through Saturday then. I have to redo it before I receive or submit it anyway.
What we've figured out is that, you know, because they, you know, you can actually show up a week before with your camper and spend the entire week. And most people that have stuff to sell, you know, also have their camper. And I think what they found is that most of the deals are getting done during the week before the ham fest, you know, between the people who come early. And then, you know, it's just, you know, real quick Friday and Saturday morning, and then, you know, by the time Saturday lunch rolls around, all the deals have been done, and nobody's really doing anything, and they're just packing and leave. So it's a strange dynamic, but I guess it's going to be what works.
You know, I have to carry it Thursday through Saturday.
Big deal on Thursday night or something.
Wheeler, the deal may already be done by Thursday.
Well, you know, we'll have to grab some dinner or something. There's some good places in town to eat. So, yeah, most people just get food at the campground or whatever, but there's definitely some good places around if you feel like venturing off.
Glad to see the town, see the sights. We've walked Shelby before. Our neighbor used to go over there all the time. So we take her over there just to kind of reminisce. Walk Main Street, go to restaurants.
Rail trail too that goes down from Marion Street, and it goes, it's like a mile and a half round trip, but it's, you know, an old abandoned rail line, and they've got it paved for about 3/4 of a mile, so you can walk out and back. And, you know, they've got some new pickleball courts now, and you know, a couple of new restaurants. So yeah, it's a fun place to be.
Small town flair of all the small towns, Shelby's included, in C9B.
I'm in that dead spot here. Give me a second.
KW Mobile. NC9V.
To you, JKT.
Yep, everybody's doing well for a Monday.
Good back, dude.
What about Shelby, kid? You going to meet Shelby this year?
You really asked that, but I'll bite. So what day is it on?
Hey, it's Labor Day weekend. It's our anniversary weekend, so yeah, it's always Labor Day.
And I'd say probably not.
I hate that. We should get into it before we're a hamster.
There are parts of life that get in the way of that.
It is true. It's like me and my wife were married on Labor Day. On my father-in-law and mother-in-law's 25th wedding anniversary, we had a joint celebration, and it's on Labor Day. And then who would know, I'd move to Hendersonville, where is the Apple Festival every Labor Day.
Figures that the Shelby Ham Fest is always on Labor Day, because I think it would be a lot bigger if it were not on one of the, you know, the big travel days where, you know, a lot of people just want to do anything else.
With you on that one. You know, everybody's got plans for Labor Day. You know, throw the Shelby Ham Fest in there. I'll be losing a third or better of your attendance.
It's the Darlington NASCAR race, but it always fell on Mother's Day, and she always had to work. You know, need to swap it around a little bit so other people can go.
It's a brick-and-mortar business. You know, you're going to be there. You need 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's when people just not getting off work. You need to stay up till 7. Well, you know, or open up late, you know, 10 to 7. That'd be better.
Close his hardware store between 12 and 1 for lunch every day, and everybody was always asking him, you know, people go out on their lunch break to go shop for hardware stuff. And he's like, well, I don't care. So, but I wonder how much business he didn't get because he was not open during the hour where a lot of people get their stuff done.
Retail store in Charleston, and we meet most of our business between 11 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock at night. It's all for us because, you know, at that time I lucked across an investigation position, and I was, you know, Monday to Friday, and it was 8 to 4, 8 to 5, and then after that, you know, I always got a hour for lunch, being, you know, doing it 11 and 1. Who took 2-hour lunches? I'm not telling.
Right.
But then I was able to make my own hours, so it worked out really well because, you know, I worked a lot of times, you know, 5, 7, 8, 9. You know, they go out to a search warrant. I was out sometimes 2, 3 in the morning. I could do that. I wasn't so old, tired all the time. Not done over the weekend, but I did mind around the house, get a few chores done. Got the grass mowed yesterday. Big one off the block there. I got to do is the weed eating.
Trimming before I went to D.C., and then when I got back yesterday, I cut the grass, and I managed to get Courtney's backyard cut about 5 minutes before we got the torrential storm, so I got to cut the rest of it maybe today if it dries out, but yeah, the grass, we're at the point I got to cut grass twice a week now.
Yesterday, I did that. Yeah, it's getting to the point where it's twice a week, just pretty much. I really didn't have to cut it, but what the heck, if I don't cut it now, I know I'm working today, maybe tomorrow, so I'm going to get cut those 2 days. I better get on the stick.
This week, before we go away on camping.
This is where I can't cut mine, so it's going to get a little bushy, but I've got my back surgery on the 16th, and there's going to be at least a couple weeks where I can't ride the mower.
I'd love to ride that mower.
Say that again?
Yes, it would love to ride that mower.
Mama to drive the tractor. I finally got her to drive the tractor the other day. I thought it was, you know, a whole lot easier if you get a little bit of help here. If we have somebody operating the tractor, I can, you know, do what I need to do as a front end loader or whatever.
Okay, the teenage kid doesn't want to do anything besides play video games. He's not even interested in getting his driver's license. So, you know, riding a mower is not going to be anything exciting for him.
Yeah, it's hard to cut my grass. I got that darn fiber optic cable laid out all across the grass. You got to keep moving it. It installed it. He called for somebody to bury it. They just hadn't come out yet.
Deep with it.
Fiber down in Seneca, they put it maybe a couple of inches below the grass.
I don't know, maybe half an inch.
If you don't put it at least 24 inches down, you're not responsible if you dig it up.
I talked to the guy, I said, hey, you know, what happens if I cut this line? You know, yeah, no, are you having any problems with it? Any problems whatsoever, just call us, come back and run by the line.
Yeah, they didn't even do an easement or anything like that when they put the fiber in at my house. They just kind of, like, you know, snaked it through the front yard and over to the side of the house. But, you know, they didn't care about, they didn't even do the 811 when they came out. And they just put it down and maybe dug a couple inch deep trench and with a shovel and put it in. And I guess they just don't care if they have to come and redo it.
For a foot for that cable, but it must be cheaper than copper.
Fiber optic cable is super cheap.
Glass on the inside. The filament you guys told me it's glass on the inside. So you have to be careful. If you bend it too far, it'll break it.
And residential stuff. The glass fiber is a single mode cable usually, and it's good for like 15 kilometers or better. The plastic stuff is a multi mode fiber, and it's, you know, a 2 to 3 kilometer cable. But we used to do that stuff when I was at Honeywell. I designed an Ethernet switch that had a fiber optic interface on it, and they wanted, you know, ExxonMobil wanted to use the glass stuff, and we were like, you know, the refineries aren't that big. You know, the orange, you know, the yellow stuff is glass, and the orange stuff is plastic, and we finally got them to go with the plastic because the glass stuff is so expensive.
A fiber optic cable, my house. Big difference. It is, Ken.
And and I took, ran a Cat 5 right from the unit right over to the TV, so it don't buffer too much anymore.
I have 6 at our house this fall, according to Ripple, so I'll have 2 gig up and down when they come in. That's going to be nice.
Well, that I wanted to see Warfare, and finally got to watch it. And I forget what they call it now. I mean, the stream is a steady stream. Didn't buffer it at all.
It's buffering now. It's got to be from where I'm getting the whatever I'm getting. It can't keep up.
Got more traffic over the weekend a little bit, and some of these games that the kid plays on the computer, man, they use a lot of bandwidth. They're in the 100 to 200 megabits downloading stuff. I think they're doing, all the maps and stuff in real time, so it's just constantly pulling a ton of data.
It's rare for you to kind of buffering because I've got a video camera system. It's got 8 cameras. It's online. It's always feeding. And I've got the 2 televisions that are steady streaming. And just all the other stuff on the network. Don't have any problems with buffering at all. Mind that I'm that far out in the country and I get that kind of service. That's really weird. Well, I figured at the very least it'd be lagging service, NC9B.
I have been out in the sticks and still got several hundred megabits on my cell phone now that 5G is getting everywhere. My carrier, I use Straight Talk from Walmart for my cell phone, and they just opened up the 5G ultra wideband to everybody, and man, it is so fast.
We went to back to Verizon just to get the 2 new cell phones, and when the phones are paid off, we'll be back on Straight Talk.
GFW. You guys are saying that Straight Talk is pretty good.
As long as you get the you can get the phones to go on like Verizon, what's the other, U.S. Cellular. You just, when you go to Walmart, you got to make sure to tell the people which system you want to use.
For my my primary SIM and for the kid's phone, and then I have an AT&T SIM for my secondary SIM. So I've got Verizon and AT&T on my phone, and Straight Talk's pretty good. The one gripe I have is that they constantly move you around from node to node, and then whenever they do that and my phone changes the node it's on, my banks all freak out because they think somebody has stolen my IMEI or something, and so I can't use my phone for 2-factor authentication for like a couple of weeks after they change the node I'm on. So it's kind of irritating when they do that, but otherwise it's all right.
Pretty much the cheapest way to go, though.
$80 for 2 phones, and mine's got unlimited everything, and then the kid's is limited. I think his plan is 30 and mine is 60 or something like that.
I want to go back. We have one line through Spectrum, Spectrum Mobile, and I'm thinking about that. That's only $35 a month per line, so another line, I think it's cheaper, even cheaper. That was $5 a month for a year, and then after that I went to $35. So we may end up with that instead of the Straight Talk. We'll see. Depends on what specials going on when we get the phones paid off here.
We had Spectrum when we changed up to our upgraded to our 1 gig service. Courtney gets that bill, so I don't know what it costs. I think they gave it to us for free, but I need to check it to see if it didn't go to some monthly fee after that, because I'm always suspicious of that kind of thing, because nothing's free.
That's very true. I'm fixing to pull up at work, so I'm going to sign with you. Eric, I'll give you a text when I get close, an extra 2 down, let you know where when I'm going to be there. And Ken, you have a great day. Enjoy that new truck and relax in C9B.
Just shoot me a text when you're getting close, and I'll come up there and meet you. This is WTJKT.
73 Leon, have a safe day. KN4 GFW.
Thinking about the weekend, I'm just ready for this week to be over. We're doing time card audit this month, and it's just a big nightmare.
Audit's happened. I got a corporate guy coming in on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, Yeah, I think they're checking to make sure everybody's got their time cards in, and then we've got goal submission this week too, so I got to get my team to put their 2025 goals into Workday so we can start tracking that. And that's always a nightmare because that's an HR system that we don't really care too much about, but we still have to get them all in, and there's these new formats this year and new requirements, and it's just a big mess.
Every time I turn around, we got all these little safety things and stuff. You got to watch the videos online and that. And every time I turn around, I get caught up, and then they give me some more.
On top of everything else.
For this week to be over myself, because we're headed to Hunting Island on Sunday.
Turn off when you were talking. What was that again?
This week to be over, we got vacation down at Hunting Island starting on Sunday, taking one of the grandsons, and he's real excited about it.
That's some fun, and how's the weather looking for your trip?
Afternoon beach showers or whatever, but other than that, it's supposed to be like, I think, 87 for the day and about 75 at night.
Foggy for nighttime. Size of your face.
Lee, my camp spot is out of the trees, and unfortunately it's in the sun, you know what I mean, but man, I've stayed back there in the back before. You better have some real bug spray.
Running over at Twin Lakes down in Clemson, it's in the woods, you definitely had to have lots of citronella candles and bug spray and stuff, and I would open the windows of the camper. They have screens in them, and the screens would just get covered with bugs wanting to come inside the camper, and it's covered, absolutely covered. I have to use a leaf blower to blow them off before I close the window and get on the road again.
We got a little screen tent to put over the picnic table and everything. We got that thing out, made sure it was all good, and that to try to at least be able to eat in peace.
Time down there. It sounds like it's going to be nice weather and hopefully not too many people.
Down there when there was a lot of people, the beach is mostly empty. I mean, there's not anything down there, other than the lighthouse and the camp. That's about it. So you don't get a lot of people coming in on that. Most of the time we've been down there, you've about had the beach to yourself. No restrictions on your pet, maybe on the beach at any time of the day, Matt, but now the beach is just the way God left it.
Places left on this earth that are still in their natural state, they've all been overrun by people. Like even out in Shelby, when I moved to Shelby 4 years ago, there were about half as many people then as there are now. It's like everybody's flooding in and they're buying up every piece of farm they can get and building these 500-unit, townhouse complexes on it. It's just ridiculous.
I agree with you on that. You just can't get up. They call it progress, but I don't know how much that really is progress. KN4 GFW.
We built a new house on our street last year, and it's this gaudy, awful-looking, postmodern, eco house. And it's only about 1,500 square feet, and single level, no basement, hardly any yard or anything. And they have this thing on the market at like $389, and it's been sitting on the market ever since they finished building it. Because who's going to pay that for such a crap house? I mean, it just boggles my mind that they're building all of these awful houses and want to charge $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 for them in Shelby of all places, and they think they're going to get it.
Is for me and you is that people move down from north, you know what I mean, and they think that's a deal. We were taking a cut through street the other day through a subdivision that in the 70s, early mid-70s, I mean, it was uptown, well-to-do area town, and there was a house there for sale, and that, man, they wanted over $600K for that thing.
Crazy.
People move from these, all these states, it's really expensive, and they sell their house, and they got plenty of money, and they come down and buy it, and then it just keeps our taxes high because they'll pay it.
Yeah, Cleveland County just came through and doubled everybody's property taxes this year because they did this big reassessment, And, you know, they wanted to do their reassessment at peak value before the housing market crashes again. And I think my property taxes almost doubled from their reassessment. And, you know, now they've got all these new units coming in. You're right. You know, we're close to Charlotte. We're close to Greenville. We're close to Asheville. And, you know, we're getting a lot of influx from people who are willing to commute that hour each way to live in Shelby because it's cheaper. You know, they can sell their $700,000 apartment in Charlotte and come out to Shelby and buy a $400,000 house and still come out ahead. So, you know, I get that completely, but it's just really irritating for us who live there.
Just Susan just picked up the paperwork for us to fill out to do the homestead exemption. That'll knock at least $50K off the value of my house. As far as tax purposes go.
Homestead exemption in South Carolina, it pretty much cut my property taxes in half when I lived in Seneca, but North Carolina has no such animal.
Change it, you got to be, the primary owner's got to be at least 65.
Welcome change for me. I mean, I always had the homestead exemption on mine, but maybe it's a county-by-county thing, because Oconee County, they had it, a very large homestead exemption because they had very high property taxes because they wanted to make sure they taxed all the college housing for Clemson as much as they could. So, you know, if you had a rental property, you had to pay the full nut on property tax on it. But if it was your primary residence, you got like a 50% discount.
I think whatever the taxes are in your house when you bought it, that's where it should stay until it sells again. And all these people that are moving in, if you need more money, you need to tax the heck out of them.
Good idea to me.
All these city leaders, they look at all these companies coming in and building subdivisions and that, and then they want to raise my taxes because the infrastructure's all screwed up and everything, and it's like they're just making life worse for everybody. I mean, dang it. Going through Greer in the afternoon, you'd think you were in Atlanta.
Nothing of all the folks on fixed incomes who have their property taxes go up all the time until they eventually, you know, their Social Security won't pay for their property tax and they have to sell and move.
Father-in-law's house, I mean, I think he paid $35,000 for it, you know, back in the 70s or whatever, and now they built a, you know, a $300,000, $400,000 house right across the street from it. So, I mean, it's going to go up. Like you said, Social Security, you won't be able to afford it.
It's a tragedy for sure, but Ken, I'm starting to lose a repeater down here. I'm a little ahead of schedule today, so I'm going to say 73, and I hope you have a great day. And, you know, I'll catch you probably tomorrow morning. This is W2JKT. I'll be there on your final.
Have a good, safe day, and I'll catch you in the morning. KN4TFW.